I'm not looking for a 12-hour drive. That's I do long drives. I'm fine with it. That's at least we're not going through North Dakota.
Yeah, no.
Because that would be just boring as hell. At least yeah. there'd be some kind of metropolis as we drive.
Well, and the thing is, we're heading east, right? So there's more hills. There's more trees. There's more like it's not
people.
This monotonous.
Just say people. There's more people.
It's not the monotonous, you know, oh, look, there's another sunflower field. Oh, look, there's another cornfield.
It's like Alberta where you go north and it's just canola fields after canola
yeah,
fields.
Yeah.
It's just like enough. I've had enough about this. Welcome to the Soderstrom Bubble. I am Scotty Waz. That is Jen, the NHL History Girl. Have we ever tried calling you Jen HL History Girl? That would be great. That'd be tremendous.
Just don't call me Jenny.
Jenny, who can I turn to? 7th, anyway. Welcome. We are doing an interesting situation. So as we tape this now, protected list are out.
Finally,
even though some leaked last night. So today we'll be talking about expansion, and then we'll be giving away some stuff. So if you want some stuff, if you're in the Chicago area, or can get to Chicago Friday and Saturday for the NHL draft,
mm-hmm.
we might have you hook up. We might have a question. We might have a thing to get you a pair of tickets and a pair of passes to the fan fest that is happening in the, I think it's parking lot 3 or some sort
yeah.
of the United Center.
And that includes the big history, traveling history
yeah, the
exhibit.
Centennial fan area, everything. We got 2 tickets and 2 passes, so we'll have 1 winner and get a pair of tickets.
Yep.
And pair of passes.
Yep.
So we will talk about that in a bit. But today, because the expansion draft protected list are out, we're going to talk some expansion draft history. Now, I don't know. I mean, you said from the onset when we were talking about, okay, we're going to do this today. Mm-hmm. And spoiler alert, we're going to be taping something about the NHL draft tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be released next week, so suck it. There's not really much on the history on the expansion because it seems to be a lot of the expansion draft stuff is tried and true.
Yeah.
And just like, all right, pick guys.
Well, the exception is when they took in the WHA teams.
Mm-hmm.
And that one was just sort of sheer meanness, like sheer spite. Like, screw you, WHA teams, we're going to make you start over. So that would be the exception to the standard pattern of expansion drafts.
Yeah. But, of course, the first real expansion draft, 1967, when the next 6 came in.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it was one of those things where you look back on it, it's just like the early expansion draft in the 60s and 70s, very crooked.
Yeah, well, the problem is you had some owners who were colluding with each other and were best buddies and were making backroom deals and, you know, we're not going to give up our good guys to you, no way, so.
Yeah, so what were the rules, what were conditions, like that early first draft as a whole?
Every existing team could protect 11 skaters and 1 goalie, and expansion teams could take 18 players and 2 goalies. And then they participated in the entry draft, but there was no universal entry draft. So that's a whole other thing to get into, is this whole universal versus amateur.
And the name change from entry draft to just, or from amateur draft to entry draft to then draft.
Yeah.
And all that fun stuff. So basically that year, because there was an expansion draft, there was no actual amateur draft as we would call it today.
Yeah, not really. Like, I mean, well, there was the draft, but there was no...
Wasn't a big pomp and circumstance situation?
No, because you got to understand that in those early years, they were just, like, they had just gotten rid of the system. With the C forms and the junior, like owning the junior teams
yeah.
and territorial rights, like they had just gotten rid of that around 1963, and so you're gonna have a few wobbly years there where you're just not going to be able to go out and find great talent because, you know, you had scouts who would go out and sign players and then their job was done. You know, like they would go out and find you at St. Michael's School in Toronto, sign you, and then that was it, you know. And now they had to relearn how to scout, basically, and it was more getting to be more competitive and it was harder to find good players. So for the first few years, it was pretty wobbly. I mean, the 65 draft, there were 11 players drafted. That was it, 11. So by 67, you had 18 players drafted. You know, it's not until 1970 where you really get into the bigger numbers of players being drafted.
Mm-hmm. And it was where they're just leaning into it now because it's just like, we can't own these guys, so now we have to do research. To hell with this.
Yeah. Well, and plus they had to wait for a lot of these territorial rights and C forms to run out. They had to expire. So
when did they expire? Like, they got just because they got rid of them doesn't mean they expired.
Right. They said, you know, after this date you can't use a C form anymore.
But the ones that were existing were grandfathered in for the length of the interesting.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, the NHL has always been, if you have an asset, you never, ever let it go if you possibly can.
Well, not in this day and age.
Not now, but back then they had a very ownership, territorial mentality. And so they would hang on to any sort of asset and any sort of advantage they could.
Well, yeah. I mean, and now you look at guys, they're just giving away first round picks just so they don't get a guy picked from their unprotected list. Yeah. So the 67 expansion draft happened, and it was an interesting way to pick them. All the six teams' names were picked and put into the top of the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, they picked out slips of paper.
And they picked out slips. Clarence Campbell just picked out slips of paper. And the draft order also interesting. The first selection then got bumped to the end of the line.
Yes.
For the next round. So the second selection of the first round picked first in the second round, and then they got bumped and then picked last in the third.
What is it they call it now? A snake?
No, because a snake draft is A, B, C, D, and then D, C, A, B, A.
Oh, okay.
That's a snake draft. Okay. I don't know what the hell you would call this one.
I don't know what to call it either. I've always, it's odd.
It is a weird way to, I don't think it's any fairer.
No.
Because if you're the F and you pick in the sixth round, you're already screwed. Because you had like 35 guys go before.
Yeah.
Or 36. And, I mean, I guess you get back-to-back picks, I guess. No, you don't even get back-to-back picks. That's a snake draft.
Yeah.
It's a very silly situation.
Well, it's NHL for you.
Exactly. Then.
So then you have 70.
Well, let's talk about the 67 first.
Okay.
Because this was a crooked draft.
The expansion draft or?
The expansion draft.
Okay.
So, the rules for protecting players, it almost is like you protect your entire roster.
Basically.
And I'm like,
you get the leftovers.
Yeah, you get the leftovers. And you want to talk about the old boys club being in effect in that situation.
Yes.
So.
Well, and you know who was behind the rules for that, though, right?
Was it, I don't know.
It was Sam Pollock and Clarence Campbell.
Hmm.
Yeah. And if there was anyone who could skew a situation to his advantage, it'd be Sam Pollock.
Yeah. Players sold to minor league teams in the 1966-67 will not be eligible either. They were not an eligible situation, along with the C contract. Is it C contract?
Yeah.
Okay. Contract. So guys who were traded to minor league teams weren't there, so would not be eligible. And
rookies are not eligible.
Rookies not eligible until
unless
the
other 18 players had been already protected, and then they could be eligible.
Mm.
So it was like you had to fill out your whole protected list, and then if you had rookies left over, then they were eligible.
They were eligible. Interesting.
Yeah.
And what was it? The goaltenders. Goaltenders chose in the first two rounds, and then you get to protect another goaltender after a guy got picked from your team?
I think
so. Is that what I was reading? Where so Salchuk was the first guy to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so that meant that the Leafs were able to fill in their guy. So Al Smith went there.
Mm-hmm.
Perrant went to Philly. Eddie Johnston was protected by the Bruins. Glenn Hall went to the Blues. Dave Dryden was the fill-in for the Blackhawks, and so on and so forth. Interesting way to do it.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on a minute.
Yeah?
Wait a minute. It was a snake draft.
Was it?
Because I'm looking at it right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's really screwed up because the first round is a snake draft where it goes L.A., Philly, St. Louis, Minnesota, Pittsburgh, California, then California, Pittsburgh, Minnesota, St. Louis, Philly, L.A.
Uh-huh.
Third round, Minnesota, California, Pittsburgh, L.A., Philly, St. Louis. Then fourth round, California Penguins, Kings, Philly, like, it's like some kind of back-asswards way. Like, yeah. I don't get it.
No, this draft makes no sense whatsoever. The first round, you had to draft goaltenders.
First two.
And then the orders were reversed, and it was, again, specifically linked for goaltenders. And the third round was the same as the second round, and then every subsequent round, the draft order would rotate so that teams had picked first in previous rounds would pick last in the following round until other teams moved up and filled its space until you had picked your 20 players. You had 3 minutes to make each
pick.
This
is as convoluted as the NASCAR point system right now. Like,
it really is.
Jesus H.
Yeah. So, you only had 3 minutes.
3 minutes.
From the time the guy before you announced his pick until you had to announce your pick, you had 3 minutes.
I am of the point now where I would love that 3 minutes time span because the first round of the draft takes like 4 hours.
It does, because you go in there and you set up at what, like 5:30, 6 o'clock?
Well, this year it starts at 6 because we're in Central Time.
Oh, that's right.
So, like, the first press conference we have to go to is 4:30.
4:30, yeah.
For the NCAA one, so we got to go to that. So we got to be there by about 3:30.
And we're not going to leave until, what, 11-ish, if we're lucky?
Nah, we could get out of there by 10:30. Make plans for the night and then figure out what the hell we're going to do then.
Yeah.
But
it feels like forever and a day.
Yeah, but this one, I would love the 3 minute time span. All right, so 67 happened. A lot of people thought the Flyers got the best of it in this rummage sale. Yeah. And you wouldn't be wrong. I mean, Bernie Parent was on the team. Mm-hmm. They had their goaltenders, Doug Favre.
I always
Doug
call
Favelle.
Them Favelle. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
but you know, this is a lot of their cup team right here.
Mm-hmm.
Ed Van Impe was on that team. Joe Watson was a pick that year, and he ended up being on their cup team. Let's see who else. I don't know if Rochefort was.
Dornhofer,
yeah.
Cousy.
Yeah.
I don't think that was the guy. But yeah, I mean, it seems like that they had the ability to foresee and know that they're probably going to be some of the best of the pack. I mean, St. Louis on the onset, they had, you know, their guys were pretty good too. I mean, you had Glenn Hall there who led that team for the longest time. Same with Al Arbor was mm-hmm. a cornerstone. Noel Picard, like mm-hmm. these guys, they like St. Louis and Philly got it. Mm-hmm. Whereas everyone else, you know, LA, you could argue had it some. I mean, Taras Shevchuk was, you know, in his latter years, but at the same time, still provided a lot for that team. Wayne Rutledge as well.
Yeah, they got Bill Flett, too.
I think I got... No, that's an expansion draft question. I'll ask you, because you probably know it, because you probably have it up in front of you.
What?
Last player to be active in hockey.
From?
From the 67 expansion draft.
Oh, that's a good question. I do not have that in front of me.
Paul Popiel.
Who
was defenseman for the LA Kings, last played in 1982 with the Muskegon Mohawks. The
oh,
IHL.
Here it is. Yeah. Yep, Bill Flett and Paul Popiel were the last players selected to be active in the NHL. Both played for the Oilers in 1980. Perron played longest career of any goaltender selected. And
I guess after the fact, Solchuk had a pretty long career.
Well, I think they mean selected in the draft and then go on.
And then go on, yeah. That's what I kind of meant, too.
Yeah. And then Popiel was the last player chosen to be active in any professional hockey.
Yeah. I guess with his career, he just was able to set it and forget it.
I was waiting for the joke, but wait, there's more.
But wait, there's more. 1970 had an expansion draft just 4 scant years later.
Yes.
Was this any less crooked? There's only 2 teams in this now.
No, yeah.
So, we were, you know, not really much on this one. Not
no,
really.
The rules for the 1970 draft were existing teams protect 15 skaters, 2 goalies. Expansion teams take 18 players and 2 goalies. And then in the entry draft, teams get first and second selections.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's the way it should be, honestly. Like, the expansion team should be picked, like, Vegas should pick, like, second or third. Like, they shouldn't be picking fourth.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I think if you're an expansion team, you automatically get the second pick. Or the third pick.
You should.
Yeah.
That's you should get the really crappy team. Well, not in this lottery system, I guess. Because even the really crappy team, like, Colorado's picking 4 and Vegas is picking 5. So, like, Colorado didn't even get a lottery pick. Baskets. So, yeah, the next one happened. The Sabres. Well, yep.
The thing about the 70 expansion draft is the classic story of how they chose who went first and second.
Which was?
They used the roulette wheel type thing.
There's,
I have video. I have a little video clip of it. It's actually more of a, like... It's like this plywood board with pegs, and it's on a stand.
No, it's like a raffle board, yeah.
Yeah, a raffle board. That's what I'm trying to think of. Yeah, yeah, so it's more of that.
It's like a door prize situation.
Yeah, because when they said roulette wheel, I thought they literally meant
like
a roulette wheel.
Yeah, no.
And then I saw the video clip, and I was like, that's not a roulette wheel at all.
No, it's like a door prize.
Is that a Canadian term or something?
No, it shouldn't be. It's the idiots don't know what the hell they're calling it. They see wheel and think, roulette!
I guess. But, yeah, they use the roulette wheel for both.
No, it's the door prize.
The raffle door, wheel, yeah.
The raffle wheel. Yeah. Roulette wheel, you have the thing down and you spin it.
Yeah.
But the ball, you throw a ball in there going the other direction of the spinning.
Right.
And then it does that.
A roulette
That's
wheel is
roulette.
A casino thing.
Yes, casino.
And this is like a church bingo
Exactly. It's
type
hey,
thing.
You bought a ticket to the door prize.
It's like a Wheel of Fortune type.
Like we went to that big lot yard sale. It was a bust.
Yeah.
They had the roulette, or the, God, you got me saying it.
Yeah.
They had the raffle wheel, the door prize wheel.
Yep.
It's like the Price is Right wheel. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
It's the Price is Right wheel.
Yeah, it's basically, and so with this one, there was no drama, but with the regular draft, deciding who got first and second, that's where they ran into trouble, because with the 1 and the 11.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so... Because that makes way more sense once you know it's a raffle wheel,
mm-hmm.
that the number was obscured and it was 11 and not 1. That makes way more sense than a roulette wheel. Because, like, how do you misread a roulette wheel way?
The ball settles into the little thing there.
Yeah, but the numbers are painted in front of it, so not on top of it.
Yeah,
so,
it's very bizarre.
So, yeah, that's the big news about the 70 draft.
72! We welcome the Islanders and the Atlanta Flames. 2 goalies, 15 skaters, first year pros exempt. Existing teams could only lose a maximum of 3 players, including a maximum of 1 goalie.
Yeah.
And apparently,
you had exempt teams.
Yeah, exempt teams. Seals, Canadians, Flyers, and Blues could exempt themselves because they had lost a goalie in the 1970 expansion draft. But the Canadians and Blues exposed the goalie because they had a wealth of riches.
Yeah.
Well, because let's look. I mean,
goaltending was not a problem for the Habs. Let's
no,
put it that
their
way.
Their goaltending was the protected list was Ken Dryden and Michael Plaze.
Yeah.
St. Louis had Jacques Caron and Peter McDuff.
Yeah, and so the Habs could afford to give up.
Yeah,
Phil
Ken Dryden, you're fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Phil Meyer. Yeah, oh, yeah, big loss there.
Yep.
St. Louis didn't even lose a goalie, so... Did they?
I don't think so.
I don't know. Put the goaltenders up top, guys. In any case, this one, you know, the Islanders set their thing. They got Billy Smith out of it.
They got some good guys out of this one, honestly.
Very crisp.
Yep. Ed Westfall.
Westfall was there. Bart Crashley doesn't sound like a real name.
That's what I think every year. Like a... And then they traded him off for Bourne.
Oh, Ken Bourne?
JT's dad.
I think it's Ken Bourne. Show prep. Doing it great. You're yelling at me for... yep. Wait. Nope. Nope. Baseball. I don't know. You're the history person. Christ, I'm not fucking doing this. Who was it? Come on. I'm Twitter right now.
It's Bob Bourne.
I'm Twitter right now. No. Why don't you know that? You're not a real fan. Why do you know that?
Yeah, no, Bart Crashley was a trade for Bob Bourne. That's from the...
I want a Bart Crashley jersey. It's so bad. Like, I don't even think he played
that
many games.
Well, he played for Kansas City. or he was traded to Kansas
City. Oh, please, was he?
So, yeah.
Oh, I want a Kansas City Scouts Bart Crashley jersey. Like, in the worst way. Oh, he looks like a Bart Crashley, too. Oh, he looks like the guy from the Incubus Records. Like the big mustachioed dude. Oh, that guy is awesome. He played 27 games, had 3 goals, 6 assists, and 9 points for the Kansas City Scouts. Oh, he's my favorite player ever.
And then they had a coin toss to decide who would pick first in the amateur draft. Not Islanders won.
Good for the Islanders.
So that meant the Flames got to pick first in the expansion draft. Because after the fiasco with the raffle wheel, they were like, we're not doing this ever again.
All right, guys. Wheel's not a good thing. We're going to ping pong balls in the future. But for now, coin toss. It works because we have 2 teams. We don't have to do tournament situations. Then the next year was interesting. It was the Kansas City Scouts and the Washington Capitals. The start of the Washington Capitals hardships for fans going on 42 years now.
So this one, they could existing teams protect 15 skaters, 2 goalies. Expansion teams take 22 players and 2 goalies. And then in the entry draft, they got first and second picks.
Now, you were telling me something interesting about this Caps team.
Oh, yeah. out of this draft, there were 48 players total picked in this expansion draft. Mm-hmm. 31 of them were out of the NHL completely by 2 years later.
Yeah, this whole expansion draft, not just the
Caps, but
so
yeah, so it was
31 out of 48.
Yeah.
If I'm doing the math properly, that's a whole heck of a lot of percentage of guys out of the...
Yeah, well, I mean, you look at the names, there's not a lot here. I mean, you've got Labre, you've got Plessé, you've got Lowe, you've got, let's see...
Belmore.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's this, like, who's that sort of feel to
who
the list?
Who that? Bill Mickelson, the worst defenseman in the history of the Washington Capitals. Like, you could say stuff about, you know, Jason Doig or Brooks Orpik, but goddamn, Bill Mickelson's terrible. So there's that. Next, after that, there's a little, do we have a little lull before? No, because if we had the...
Well, you have 74, and then you have 78.
You have 78.
And for the Barons and the North Stars.
And this, yeah, so tell us about, because this one was interesting, because the North Stars were already there and an established team, so... What was going on with their situation there? So, because they had to get a dispersal / like rehearsal, like you had to, they had to disperse their guys and then repick them. Like, how did this work?
Okay, so the Barons owners had tried to buy Richfield Coliseum and had failed, and the North Stars were teetering on the edge of folding. They were pretty terrible. They'd been missing the playoffs several years in a row. Things were not looking good. So the Barons owners, Gordon and George Gund, were looking to get out, but they wanted to stay in hockey. And you can't own 2 teams at once. You know, it's against the rules. So this is the first time ever the league arranged for the Barons to merge with the North Stars under the Gund's ownership. And then later on down the line, you get some other merging and separating and buying, and ta-da, you have the Sharks. But we'll get to that later. So, The merge team was, the plan was to keep it as the North Stars, but they got to keep the Baron's position in the Adams division.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Considering you look at, you wouldn't think that the North Stars would be in the Adams division. You always think Norris division.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
Weird how that works.
Yeah. It's like, okay, you get to keep the name, but you're moving over here to this division.
Mm.
So. Let me see if I can find the rules for this one. This is 78?
78, yeah.
Okay.
Seems very, wow, this is convoluted.
Yeah, no, it's kind of. And they work together. The, excuse me, the GMs work together to pick the protected players, and they picked an equal number from each team. And then, after that, it's, I don't even know how to explain this. Like, I don't know how to explain this, but they basically chose, like, four skaters and one goalie from each team to protect. So that gives you two goalies and eight players. And then the rest of the team was dispersed. The five lowest standing NHL teams. So the Caps forfeited their pick, which gave them an extra first round pick in the amateur draft, which was smart. Mm-hmm. And then the Blues, the Canucks, the Penguins, and the Rockies all had a chance to select a player. And the Pens and the Rockies declined to select a player. I don't know.
I don't think the Pens could afford it at that point.
No, they really, probably not. So that was kind of how that one worked. And then during the amateur draft, the new merged North Star team would be able to fill the rest of their team through their draft picks. That was the thought.
Hmm.
So, yeah. The Rockies weren't in any position to really take on more players either.
No, not at all. And they're a team on the verge of moving again, too, so.
Yep. So they're like, thanks, but no.
What about, so then we get to the WHA thing.
Yeah.
Where these quote-unquote expansion teams that were basically absorbed.
Yeah.
Basically, this was just a way to get good players from the WHA that still remained, right? Or
well,
from these teams?
So the NHL was still pissed off, extremely pissed off, and vindictive as hell about the fact that the WHA had stolen a lot of their big-name players. They'd taken Derek Sanderson and Jerry Cheevers and Frank Mihalovich and Bobby Hull, and, you know, like, they were mad. They were mad that the WHA had taken their players and forced them to pay players more. So this was a very dick move. On the NHL's part, which doesn't surprise me in the least. So, first of all, you have four teams this time, the Oilers, the Whalers, the Nordiques, and the Jets. And the NHL said, okay, you can rejoin us, but any of your players who has rights still being held by NHL teams, they go back to their NHL teams automatically. So they basically just sort of decimated the teams. And then each one of these four teams was only allowed to protect two goalies and two skaters. Like, it was a total of four players. That was it. That was all you could protect on your team if you were the Oilers or the Nordiques or whatever. It was just this really mean spirit, like, really mean-spirited thing. So, and, you know, they made a bunch of deals to keep some of their players. Like, the Nordiques would trade a draft pick to keep one of their players, which was smart, because the trade ended up being Dennis Savard.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that was smart. Wayne Gretzky
was
completely,
interesting.
Yeah, he was completely exempt from this whole thing. And it was a brilliant move on his part or Pocklington's part. I don't know if they saw ahead and thought, hey, we're going to do things this way. So he was completely exempt for the simple reason that he never signed a standard player contract Mm-mm. with the Oilers.
He signed, what was it, a personal service contract?
Yes. Yep. And so they told him he had to void his contract, his personal services contract. Well, that would mean that he'd be drafted first overall by the Colorado Rockies. And he said, hell no, I'm not doing that. Like, you can't make me do that. I'm not doing it. And the NHL went back and forth. They're like, should we sue? Should we not? Should we? And finally they just said, you know what? Just leave him with the Oilers. It's fine. They're going to be a terrible team. It's fine. Mm-hmm. You know, that'll be his punishment. It's fine. They turned out not to be.
Yeah, it became a cornerstone.
Yeah, so Wayne Gretzky was never drafted. He was never expansion drafted. He was never drafted.
He was never... Yeah, he was never rookie. He was never had rookie status in the NHL.
Nope. Yeah. So, in exchange for generously for not suing the Oilers to make Gretzky give up his personal services contract, the Oilers had to agree to choose last in each round of the amateur draft.
How much different would the Colorado Rockies be if Gretzky was on that team? Would they be better or worse? And would he have made a difference? And would it have saved Don Cherry's job?
I don't think it would have saved Don Cherry's job. Mm. Just because Gretzky is good. But that team was so sad sack.
They were pretty bad.
I'm not sure if he could have carried them all on his own.
That was 79. So that would go into the 79. That would go into the 79-80 year, right?
Yep. Yeah.
By the way, I just want to say, people, get your head out of your asses. The Rockies are both a hockey team. Because the state of Colorado was so high before the pot law came to effect, they had no original names for their teams.
I get that a couple times a year. I'll say, on this date, the Colorado Rockies hired Don Cherry as their coach. And then I get somebody yelling at me about how I have to
get...
Yeah.
Decent team. Lenny Mack was there.
That's
a young
true.
Lenny McDonald was there.
Yeah.
Don Ashby. He was I don't know.
Yeah, but
Barry Beck.
Yeah, but they're a goalie.
Yeah, Hardy Astrom was bad. Hardy Astrom was pretty bad. Wolf Paymont was there. all the Warriors were there. Joel Quenneville. Rene Robert was on this team.
I think Gretzky would have made the team better, absolutely.
Would it have been good enough to save anyone's job? Probably not.
No. Well, and ownership wasn't too thrilled with Don Cherry's antics necessarily either.
That's fair.
So, yeah, because like he would do things like sign autographs during the game and like stop. Like he'd call a timeout to sign autographs behind him. You know, they weren't necessarily always thrilled by that, so...
By the way, are you the one that keeps defending Hardy Astrom about how he wasn't as bad as people thought he was?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just looking at things.
I mean, you know, as
he didn't have a long career.
He didn't. I mean, everyone remembers him as just this really, really, truly atrocious goalie, and he wasn't that bad. I'm not saying he was good necessarily. He was definitely better in Europe than he was in the NHL, but
marginally, because his save percentage or his goals against average was looks like between Sweden and the U.S. You're making me do math. 0.19 better in Sweden than it was in the U.S. for the NHL. It wasn't that marginally better. Got a lot more minutes though. That's for damn sure. Saw a lot more games, 83 to 218.
At least he's not a, what's his name, who used to close his eyes every time somebody shot the puck at him. He was the Quebec.
Tommy Salo?
No, it was the Quebec goalie. Milnikov?
Mm-hmm.
Milnikov? Miles?
Oh, Sergei Milichnikov.
Something, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, he was...
Yeah, he'd see a slap shot coming and he'd close his eyes. Not good. Not a good look. So the other notable thing about this was there was a gentleman's agreement with the Red Wings that no one, that the Whalers could keep Gordie Howe. They weren't going to reclaim him because technically they still held his NHL rights, but the two of them arrived at a gentleman's agreement. So, yeah.
The other big one was one of my favorite player. Not Bart Crashley. He's my second favorite player. But the situation with Bent Gustavsson. With the Oilers, where the NHL denied the Oilers' claim of Bent Gustavsson, even though the Oilers claimed him in the priority selections. So there was a whole thing. Ziegler ruled that the Oilers violated WHA rules when they attempted to add Gustavsson to their team during the 79 playoffs, so they voided any claim on him, and the Caps were able to retain his rights. Anyone else would be a really great Caps center. He's very underappreciated in the Caps lexicon, I think. And that's not just because he scored in the first game that I went to as a child in a 1-0 victory over the Whale.
Well, personally, he's one of my favorite Caps.
I love him. Five goals in that game, and then he was. I would harbor to bet. This is me not knowing much past or earlier than the 90s. The first European to have that Red Deer grit, like the first like Canadian Swede, I would say. I'm trying to think. I mean, Bjorn Salming as defenseman, but as a forward, I would think that
Juha Whiting, something like that.
What?
His name was Juha.
Juha.
And his last name was something like Whiting or Whiting or something like that.
Sure, if I go to Hockey TV and look it up. Not many guys named Juha.
Yeah.
Juha Kalonen.
Oh. He had that sort of grit.
Okay. Juha Whiting.
Whiting, that's it.
Juha Whiting. Yeah, there's like five guys named Juha in the history of the NHL. Oh, he passed away.
He used to say that people assumed when they saw him play that he was Canadian. And then they heard his name, and they're like, where are you from again?
Had that grit, man. Had that grit. 575, 144 goals, 208 penalty minutes.
Yeah.
Pretty solid. Died young. Died at 37.
Yeah. There's compensation attached to the 1979 draft, too.
What kind of compensation?
The 17 existing NHL teams received $125,000 for each player drafted. And these were part of the $6 million franchise fees of the former WHA teams had to pay. So yeah, that's how they divided out the expansion fees to the existing teams.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So
related to players picked rather than, you know,
actual compensation as a whole.
Yeah.
Then we have a couple things. We have a couple years in between before we get to the 1991 expansion draft. 91 expansion draft?
Yeah, 91 expansion and dispersal draft.
So this was we're going back, 12 years?
Yeah.
12, 13 years. When we get to the situation with the damn, the Cleveland Barons come back again to haunt.
Yeah, so the Guns are still the owners of the North Stars, and they decide that they want a team in San Francisco. And NHL was not wild about that, so they said, well, how about you have a team in the Bay Area instead? Well, again, you can't own two teams at once, so they got the Bay Area team, and they sold off the North Stars, and you know who they sold them to, and you know that sad story.
Howard Baldwin, Morris Belzig, and some guy.
Yeah, and then it kind of went sideways. So anyway, the Cleveland Barons were the... okay, so you had the Golden Seals, which became the Cleveland Barons.
Yes.
Which then sort of became the North Stars.
Yeah, which died.
Yeah, they merged with the North Stars, and then they sort of separated out again to become the sharks. So technically speaking, you could argue that the sharks are a continuation of the SEALs team.
Well, that's what they do. They have picked up those reins.
Yeah, I have the t-shirt to prove it.
You do. But they have picked up the reins and stuff like that. And it's also kind of a local heritage thing, but also it does have some kind of truth in that, truth in advertising.
Yeah. So you have the dispersal draft. So the Sharks can pick up some players and the North Stars, you know, are unmerged, I guess. So the North Stars got to pick 14 skaters, 2 goalies, the rule being they had to play at least 50 games, 50 NHL games, by the end of the 89-90 season. Then the rest of the players were unprotected, and the unprotected players excluded their 1990 draft picks. So the Sharks couldn't say, hey, I'm taking your draft pick. So the Sharks picked 14 skaters, 2 goalies. 3 of the Sharks picks could have been unsigned North Stars draft picks, and another 3 could have been players signed between May 2nd and June 15th, 1990, which is really interesting.
Year before?
Yeah. So those were the rules and how that dispersal draft went down. And then with the expansion draft that went along with it, the other 20 teams got to protect 2 goalies, 16 skaters. Then the Sharks and North Stars would take turns selecting from the pool of players until they had each chosen 10. And the rule was you had to pick 1 from each franchise. So
24 players picked from the dispersal draft.
Uh-huh.
Key to note of them by the Sharks. So the Sharks picked from the North Stars roster these guys.
Yep.
Brian Hayward, Shane Sherla, Rob Zettler, who was one of the big guys. Also Neil Wilkinson, who played a pretty big role in the Sharks' first few years. Link Getz. My God. And Archie Irbe was picked in the dispersal draft as well.
Yes, he was.
In the expansion draft, Jeff Hackett was there. Minnesota decided to pick a lot of old guys. Charlie Huddy and Babe Babich, two of which. Kelly Kissio.
And a couple of these, I think, were side deals. Like Huddy and LaFleur.
And Huddy was traded to Los Angeles for Todd Ellick.
Yeah.
Dave Babich was traded to Vancouver after that. Shane Sherlock was traded back to Minnesota for Kelly Kissio, who was picked by the North Stars in the expansion draft. Guy LaFleur was selected by Minnesota, was traded back to Quebec before retiring. And Ben Gustavsson, again, picked in the expansion draft, this time by the San Jose Sharks, from the Detroit Red Wings, even though he didn't play a game for either.
LaFleur, I'm pretty certain, was a side deal.
You think?
Yeah. I'm reasonable confidence there.
Also, this kind of began the whole thing of the silliness of trading guys to teams ahead of expansion drafts, because we'll see this down the line.
Oh, yes.
Of wacky people getting traded, usually unrestricted free agents, getting traded before expansion drafts happened.
Yep.
That tells you when John Van Beesbrouck got picked by the Panthers, he was part of the Vancouver Canucks. Because he was traded for like 2 seconds.
Well, same with Richter?
No, Richter was attracted from the Rangers, but was an unrestricted free agent.
Okay.
When he got picked by the Predators, so he just re-signed with the Rangers.
Right.
Whereas, Beesbrough's right were traded to Vancouver, then he got selected, and he's like, the hell with it, I'm going to sign here.
He's like, it's Florida, why wouldn't I sign here?
Florida, it's fine. Then we get to 92, and Ottawa and Tampa Bay. 21 of 22 teams were picked there. This was also a situation. Every team had to make available at least one goaltender that played at least one game.
Which led to some shenanigans.
Very much shenanigans. Like, not even just LP funsies. It's just shenanigans as a whole. Whereas the Blackhawks signed Ray LeBlanc, who was the 92 standout for the U.S. men's hockey team.
Played Olympics.
Him in
the Olympics.
Well, I meant said men's hockey team. I assumed Olympics. He's just not going to the U.S. and just playing around the world.
Well, you never know, World Cup or whatever.
It wasn't a World Cup back then. Canada Cup died a couple years back.
Just harassing you. Jesus.
So anyway, Sugar Ray LeBlanc, all around the world, statue crumble for him. he went ahead and played one NHL game and allowed the Blackhawks to not expose Ed Belfour, Dominic Hasek, or Jimmy Waite. So, shenanigans happening right there. And man, like, this draft was... Do you want to talk about...
Oh, this one's wacky.
This is a silly draft.
Yeah.
So...
And it just alternates between, like, okay, I can see good player, and then who's that?
I want to say this right now. Freddie Shabbat could be the most selected guy in expansion drafts ever. Because I count him being picked by the Lightning.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the Predators, the Thrashers, and the Wild. So four straight expansion drafts. I think he got four straight expansion drafts towards the end. He got picked.
Huh.
I would love to see the situation on him. But yeah, just like the names of people are just fantastic. Peter Sadorska fits everybody. Darren Rumble, young kid Rumble.
Trees.
Mark LaForest. Basil McRae, Laurie Boschman,
Joe Riki,
Brian Bradley, the standout from the Lightning. Like, he was their first franchise guy. That was a huge, huge pickup for there. But, you know, a lot of these guys, it's a who's who of who cares.
Yeah.
As with most expansion drafts. Yeah, it was a weird, weird situation.
Yeah, it's kind of ironic that the Blackhawks didn't want to give up Hasek, and he wasn't even there. I don't think he was even their number two goalie at that point.
No,
was he?
Jimmy Waite was. Yeah. He was playing in. Hasek was playing in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Whereas Jimmy Waite was just Jimmy Waite was a dependable backup.
Yes,
he was the first real dependable backup. So, all right.
93.
Before that, Shabbat. So Freddie Shabbat. Claimed by Tampa Bay for Montreal in expansion draft. Traded to Montreal by Tampa Bay. Traded to Philadelphia by Montreal. Signed as a free agent for Florida. Signed as a free agent in Los Angeles. Claimed by Nashville in expansion draft. Claimed on waivers by Los Angeles from Nashville. Claimed by Montreal from Los Angeles on waiver draft. Claimed by Columbus from Montreal in expansion draft. So he didn't. I thought he went for the three-peat, but no, just Nashville. So Tampa, Nashville, and Columbus were the three teams he got picked by. Mr. Expansion Jeff, Freddie Shabbat. What a guy. So then, yes, we move to the next year, and that is your Ducks and your Panthers. More silliness happening here.
Yeah, more rules.
Yeah. Two of the franchise goalies going, 1-2, Van Beesbrouck, Guy Hebert. Glenn Healy also picked for some unknown reason. Darren Puppa picked. Ronnie Tugnutt picked.
Yeah, well, the rule was that you could only protect one goalie, five defensemen, and nine forwards. All rookies were exempt, and all second-year players on the reserve list were exempt.
Hmm.
So, and you can only pick one goaltender or one defenseman from each franchise. So this is kind of odd, but six teams would lose one goaltender and one forward, 16 teams would lose one defenseman and one forward, and two teams would lose two forwards.
Hmm.
The math.
But that was just phase one. Because there was a phase two.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, there was a second phase to the 93 expansion draft. Lightning, Senators, and Sharks, the previous expansion teams selected players from the Panthers and Mighty Ducks that they wanted. The Panthers and Ducks were allowed to protect one goalie, five defensemen, 10 forwards. Three teams chose two players. Three teams each chose two players. The Panthers, Ducks, were to lose one goaltender, one defenseman, one forward.
This is like your older brother taking your lunch money.
Kind of. But in all honesty, Tampa was a really big one that lost out. They lost two of their goalies.
Yep.
Glenn Healy, who then was traded to the Rangers after that, was picked by the Lightning, and Darren Puppa was picked by the Lightning as well. Dennis Vail was picked by the Senators from the Ducks. So, I mean, the Panthers lost only, or Tampa Bay lost. Tampa Bay gained two players. Ducks lost two players. Florida lost one guy, which they really didn't need anyway.
Yeah. Well, I think there were some side deals involved in that, too.
Oh, yeah. No, I love the entries about the side deals, about who wasn't. And that's where we're going to get to this one now, because the information a little bit more open was the Nashville draft. Now, the Predators were the first of four teams to finally round out the 30 teams. of the NHL. He staggered at Nashville was 98, Atlanta was 99, and then Columbus and Minnesota.
Yep.
2000. A lot of draft deals. A lot of situation where guys who were just supposed to be unrestricted free agents were picked, and the Predators knew they had little chance of signing, but hey, why not? But they received a compensatory pick. So for building their team up the next year in the entry draft.
It's a smart move.
Genius move.
And they changed the rules again. A goalie had to have 10 games played and a minimum in the past season, and then a minimum of 25 games since 95-96.
And teams had to include at least one forward and one defenseman who appeared in 40 games in the 97-98 season.
Yes, so you had to give up a veteran player.
Yes, a veteran player had to be out there.
Yep.
So the side deals on this one, I mean, the names that come about, Scotty Walker in there, Andrew Burnett, another guy, Andrew Burnett picked a lot of freaking expansion teams, John Slaney, Uwe Krupp, Eli Afraidy, Mike Richter, as we mentioned before, picked by the Rangers, but did not come to terms. But they got two of their franchise goalies, and Mike Dunham and Thomas Vokoun out of this expansion draft as well. So the side deals, Calgary traded Jim Dowd to Nashville after the Predators agreed not to pick a goaltender from the Flames. Chicago traded Sergei Kirby-Krasov to Nashville after the Predators didn't select Chris Terrieri. Here's an interesting one to me. Los Angeles trading Kimmo Timonen and Jan Volpat to Nashville when the Predators said they would not select Gary Galley?
Yeah.
Like, that's a name that doesn't... No. Sebastian Bortolo traded for Montreal, even though Peter Popovic is the guy that Montreal really wanted. Philadelphia traded Dominic Rochel and Jeff Staples when the Predators decided not to select Paul Coffey. Like, these are old guys, like Gary Galley and Coffey. Yeah. And then Dominic Rochel got traded for himself again. It was really weird.
Yeah.
Ville Peltonen was traded from San Jose, so they didn't pick Tony Granato. Darren Turcotte from St. Louis when Predators did not select Jamie McLennan. But a lot of guys booted. Mike Sullivan got traded after the post-draft. Mike Sullivan got traded to Phoenix. Uwe Krupp signed with Detroit. Tony Herkes was traded to Dallas. Doug Brown traded to Detroit for Peter Sikora. Was it the real Peter Sikora or the other Peter Sikora?
I think it's the real one.
I think it's the other one.
Is it the other one?
It says born 78.
Oh, yeah.
It's the other Peter Sikora. Freddie Shabbat claimed off waivers by Montreal. Mike Richter signed with the Rangers. Mikhail Stolenkov traded to Edmonton with Jim Dowd for Fischow, Barahowski, and Craig DeVries. And Ally Afraid retired.
Well, his
skullet played another 2 years.
I'm just wondering. Tony Herkes should be sending the Preds a thank you card for training him to Dallas.
Yeah, probably. Can you do? Then we got the Thrashers expansion draft. Trevor Kidd, Norm Miracle, Corey Schwab. The goalies there, Jamie Pusher. Kelly Buchberger, who was the first captain of the team. Peter Ferraro, Jody Hall, Steve Steos. Terry Yake, some notable names there. Future consideration deals. Future consideration deals. Damian Rhodes got traded from Ottawa to Atlanta. Ulf Samuelsson traded to Atlanta from Detroit. Remember those Detroit years with Ulf Samuelsson? I sure as hell don't. Post-draft deals. Trevor Kidd traded to Florida for Gordon Murphy, Daniel Tarnquist, Vasecek, and some other things. Peter Ferraro traded to Boston for Randy Robitaille. Mark Tenorti, who was selected, was retired. Terry Yake was claimed. Jamie Pusher was claimed or traded. So, a lot of wacky garbage there.
And that one was kind of they gave you two scenarios. Like, you can either protect one goalie, five defensemen, and nine forwards, or two goalies, three defensemen, and seven forwards. And if you'd already lost a goalie in last year's expansion draft, then you were exempt from losing one this year. Mm. So it was like, if A, then B. If B, then A plus C. Like,
I was told there'd be no math, in all honesty. 2000, the last expansion draft before this one. 26 of the 28 teams participated. Thrashers and Predators were exempt. Their entire rosters were protected. 52 players chosen in this one. At least one defenseman left unprotected by each team had to appear in at least 40 games. Or 40 games in the 99-2000 or 70 games in the 98-99-2000 combined. At least two forwards left unprotected by each team had to have met the same requirements. So, again, a vet had to be picked. Each goal names, Chris Drury again get picked. Freddie Chabot get picked. Jamie McLennan gets picked. Mike Vernon gets picked. Matty Schneider. Philip Kuba got picked by the Flames, which for the while was big.
Yeah.
He was able to establish a defenseman there. Robert Kron was a big, you know, a bit contributor for Columbus, but Jeff Sanderson was also picked from the Sabres, and he was a huge contributor for those early Blue Jackets teams.
Mm-hmm.
Artem Amisinov, I don't think it was the same one. Same guy, same name, but defenseman. Jimmy Dowd, Tyler Wright was there. Dallas Drake, Joe Junot.
Kevin Dineen,
Zach Burke. There, some side deals. Jan Kolhan in a ninth-round pick selected, traded from San Jose when Evgeny Nabokov was not traded, or was not selected.
Can you imagine how that would have gone down if they had chosen Nabby?
Wow.
I mean,
one of the two chose Nabby.
Yeah.
Well, the Minnesota also had a side deal. They got Andy Sutton in a deal from San Jose, along with some draft picks. So they didn't.
Well, and they got players from Buffalo, or Columbus got players from Buffalo.
Yeah, Columbus got players from Buffalo, and Jean-Luc Grandpierre, Matt Davidson, 2 fifth-round picks, which turned out to be really nothing, so that the Blue Jackets wouldn't pick Hasek or Marty Biron. Post-draft funsies, got ourselves Mike Vernon traded to Calgary, well past his prime. Chris Drury traded to New Jersey. Well, past his prime. They got Brad Belmadier. Minnesota did.
Yeah, that was a good trade for them.
Very good deal. Joey Junot from Minnesota to Phoenix for Richard Waldine. Columbus, Turner Stevenson traded for future considerations. Columbus signed Dallas Drake, Dallas Drake picked from, or signed by St. Louis. Matthew Schneider was signed by L.A. And Drayne Rolston decided, you know what, I'm going to play in the AHL. Screw you guys, I'm going home. It's weird. Weird considering Drayne Rolston would then play for Minnesota, though. I think later that year or 2 years down the road.
Yeah, not too far down the road.
Like, what about Columbus he didn't like? I wonder. In any case. Boop, 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 boop.
That was the last boop, one.
And now we got there. What do you think? What do you think about this one? Is there going to be any big history? Obviously, I think this could be the most star-studded team possible.
Sure.
How much are you of the same instance of me where this team could be, I don't think they're playoff bound, but they could very well be, you know, better than most. Could this be the best? I would say, is this the best expansion team since the original six era?
Probably.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be one of the strongest, definitely. Thanks for that, computer. Yeah, I think they're going to be one of the strongest, definitely. Philadelphia was fairly strong mm-hmm. out of the gate. St. Louis was fairly strong out of the gate. I mean, they made the cup final.
But you're like the best out of a crap sandwich. Like, I don't know how.
Yeah, they were the best out of their division.
They were the
which
best
was
out of the division. All expansion. And then they got ran in the finals.
Yeah, well.
Kinda.
I mean, you run into the Habs, you're kind of going to get run over at that point. So, I don't know. Maybe the Oilers were.
But was that really? Is that really an expansion team? Those teams. They're expansion in name only, but they had players to protect as well.
But they could only protect two players.
Sure, but they had players to protect. They also had their whole front office established, and they knew what they can do and how to adapt and adjust.
Yeah,
it's not like they're starting from the bottom. Now they're her.
Yeah. No, that's always my struggle with the WHA teams coming in, too. Like, are they real expansion teams, or are they, you know, like, pre-assembled, sort of?
That's the whole thing about the, when flipping to minor league, when the Wolves and all those guys came in. It's like, is that considered expansion, or is that considered absorption?
Yeah.
I consider it absorption because it was a dead league. That he's like, all right, your teams are good enough. They're going to make us money. Come join us.
Yeah.
So, should be interesting. Should be fun. Don't you dare miss it. We'll be in a hotel room in Chicago, I think. We'll be doing the show.
When is the award show? I forget. Wednesday?
I think it's Wednesday.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's Wednesday because I was talking with reporters who were like, I'm going to the Cubs game, kill a few hours before the Vegas stuff.
Like, they need an excuse.
Right? Like, just go to the game and enjoy
it. Hockey guys are losing their jobs hand over fist. Yeah. Freaking. Yeah. I need an excuse to go to a Cubs game now.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, we'll be at the Cubs game that day, and then...
Cubs games, and we're doing the whole kit and caboodle there in Chicago, and your chance to hang out in Chicago. Probably not with us, but with other people you might know. We got a couple tickets.
Mm-hmm.
We have a pair of tickets to give away. A pair of passes also to the Fan Fest.
Yes.
Which, there's like autograph signings, the Centennial area.
And player photos.
Probably the Stanley Cup's going to be your normal, like, garb.
Your normal Fan
Your
Fest.
Normal garnish of Fan Fest.
Yeah.
They usually do put on a good thing at Fan Fest. There's live music and stuff like that. There's activities you can do. Do Hardest Shot.
Yeah.
Probably a Timmy's truck there. Maybe some Reese's Pieces. Who knows? Could be a wild goddamn time. You don't know. You're never going to know until you get there. So we're going
to... Plus, I think each pass comes with like a little code to enter for an extra prize to win from the NHL.
Do you want to go grab one of the codes now?
Well... you have to, like, scratch off.
No. I meant, do you want to go grab and make sure it is there and grab the piece of paper, too, so we can make the people know,
absolutely,
well aware of what they're getting into. Because, Jen and I will be there. We'll be doing some stuff for University of North Dakota down there. I'm also doing some stuff for NCAA's got a news conference there. We got ourselves a fun, fantastic time as well. Jen scurries back into the small studio space we have here. Floppy entrance.
Okay, so it says the Draft Fan Fest will offer interactive games, photo autograph opportunities with Blackhawk players and alumni, live music, and a special appearance by the NHL Centennial Fan Arena. And your pass is valid from Friday 3 to 9 p.m. and Saturday 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. And then it comes with your draft ticket. And let's see. There is a code on the back of the pass that you can enter, and it says enhance your overall experience, digitally archive your on-site experiences, including photo stations and interactive games, and access to a scratch and win card.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty neat.
And then once registered, your pass will automatically be eligible to win a scratch and win prize. These consist of autograph and photograph sessions with Blackhawk players and alumni, as well as VIP draft experiences.
That's pretty cool.
Yes.
So we're going to give away a pair of tickets and a pair of FanFest passes as well. So the real question is, what's our question?
That is a good question.
Because, do we want to make it a draft question? Do we want to make an entry draft question? Do we want to make an expansion draft question? How do we want to make it? I guess that's the real big question of all the questions. What's going on in your head of yours? Because I have no idea what the hell I'm doing.
You assume there's, like, a thing going on in my head.
True. That's a fair point. Trying to find there's this website that I... Here we go. All right, I found it. So, the 2002 was the first time I'd gone to an expansion draft as credential media. What's going to happen is there could probably going to be multiple answers, and we'll put it into a hat and draw it from there. Again, you have to be in the Chicago area or... able to drive to the United Center to pick these up.
Yeah, we'll put them at will call.
We can put them at will call or something like that, and we'll make it happen. But yeah, other than that, there's just like we can't ship them out that quick. We're not that rich that we can do so. Name me. So 2002 is the first time I've been there. That was it seems like forever ago.
It was
15 years. Jesus Christ, been doing this way too long. Give me the top skater, the top European skater of the 2002 Central Scouting Bureau final rankings. The top European skater. Now, this is difficult because Europeans are normally named in North America if they play in North America. I want the European skater from a European team. The top European skater in the 2002 Central Scouting Bureau final rankings. You can give me the number one guy. I'll take up to the first three guys. First three players. Give me one of the first three players. You'll be entered in to win the tickets and the passes. A pair go to you and whoever the hell you want to take with you. If you just want to put them away, I don't give a crap. You just want to scratch it off and take their winnings, I don't care either. The top three Central Scouting Bureau final rankings for the 2002 European skaters. You'll take home some lovely prizes if you can get to Chicago Friday and Saturday. Does that sound kosher?
That works for me.
All right, perfect.
They reply directly to you?
Great question. At SDR Strom Bubble. At SDR Strom Bubble. Thank you for that. They're just going to be yelling at their iPod. Why aren't you doing this? Who's this guy? So, yes, at SDR Strom Bubble. And then we'll get access to it because we have notifications on our phone and our media stuff. So, at SDR Strom Bubble, one of the top three guys in the 2002 Central Scouting Bureau European Skaters. Final rankings. I have a list in front of me of who it is, and I'll show you after the show.
Yeah.
So, there we are. We got anything else? I didn't get any questions this week. Did you get any questions this week?
No, I didn't get any questions this week.
Super.
I've been too busy frantically trying to catch up on the stupid work project to do much of anything.
There you go. All right. Sounds good. Let's go now. We've been over an hour. We got to record something tomorrow. We'll record something before we go to the draft. We'll do a draft thing that'll release after the draft, I think, maybe. Or before. We'll maybe release it Friday.
Yeah.
See how it goes.
Or maybe Thursday.
Maybe Thursday.
Draft prep.
Draft
for people.
Yeah. Well, we're doing a history of the draft, not so much a draft show.
That's true.
So.
Well, yeah.
We can figure something out. Any case, stick to us. SDR Strom Bubble on Twitter. That's where you get your answers for the tickets. We'll also go ahead and give us your questions if you have to. Where can they find you at?
NHL History Girl.
By me and Scotty Waz. And then Tuesday we're on the road. So
yeah.
It's gonna be fun.
If we survive.
why did I say this was a good idea? No flying. No flying would be considering everything's so goddamn expensive. Whatever. Yeah. Any case, that's it. That's all. For Jen, I'm Scott. Take care of yourself and someone else has been faithful. Screwed it up. See, I have to do that in the NASCAR show, too. I have to make sure I don't say Faceoff Hockey Show for In the Draft Show with Wilson and Waz. All right, this has been the Soderstrom Bubble. Take care of yourself and someone else. We'll be back sometime soon. I'm tired. I don't like work either. Whatever. That's it. Bye, everybody.